הלב מלא בהמון תודה, והלם גם הוא איזה עולם נפלא.
Like a butterfly, come along and sing with us, hallelujah.
Heaven's journey.
Gone before
oh, heaven's journey. In my heart, you made your home. can see the waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken, we will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out. We will not be overtaken, we will not be overcome. The same power that arose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commanded death to wait, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can call a raging sea, lives in us, lives in us.
Things that were me. been in so many places. You know I've run so many races. Looked into the empty faces of the people of the night. Something is just not right, 'cause I know that I gotta get out of here. I'm so alone. Don't you know that I gotta get out of here, 'cause New York's not my home. Though all the streets are crowded, there's something strange about it. I lived there about a year and I never once felt at home. I thought I'd make the big time. I learned a lot of lessons awful quick, and now I'm telling you that they were not the nice kind. It has been so long since I have felt fine. That's the reason that I gotta get out of here. I'm so alone. Don't you know that I gotta get out of here, 'cause New York's not my home. Hi,
New York is not my home. How about you? It's not my home. I don't want any part of this place. I'm done with it. I'm totally done with it. I see which way things are going, and I'm going. This is Sherry. How are you? At the moment, I have Michelle in chat. I've got Tana on the line. Hi, Tana. I'll open you up in a minute. I'm going to ramble here for a minute or two. It's interesting because she actually mentioned in chat, she said, someone received a word that judgment was going to fall on America today, but I haven't heard of anything significant happening. And I replied, lots of words, little action that we can see. I do know that things are happening. I know this is a special time. But we are not seeing some of the things that we're looking for directly, physical. And so that leaves some things open to question. It's interesting. I really don't have anything for today on the show, really. I was waiting to see what he might do. And the funny thing is, I was tripping over something that has intrigued me. I don't know any more about it than that. I have to look into this more. I don't think I can do it while the show's going on. I am pondering. Pat has sent me a couple of things. It looks like there was one article in Breaking Israel News, the website, and the title of the article pretty much says it: how eerie predictions of, quote, nine traits of the Messianic era are coming true today. And this is an old teaching that they had, and you know what, I guess I might. I'll just go over this very quickly. This is a writing, an old writing in Jewish tradition, and in the Talmud. But here's the points. It says there's 9 points of the Messianic era. One was insolence will increase and honor will dwindle. The vine will bear its fruit, but wine will be dear. In other words, there will be produce, but it will be expensive. The government will turn to heresy, and there will be none to offer them reproof. And this, by the way, is all from a Jewish perspective. So this is from an Israeli perspective. And yet they mention Obama. Meeting place of scholars will be used for immorality. This is a reflection. They bounce back and forth between Israel and the United States and the way they're touching on these things. So basically, they're saying American universities are supposed to be about education, but they become about partying, in a word. Dwellers on the frontier will go about begging from place to place without anyone to take pity on them. Of course, there's all kinds of displaced people, and even in the frontier in Israel, the settlers are not receiving the kind of support they really should have, and nor do they have peaceful relations with the people around them. The youth will put old men to shame. The old will stand up in the presence of the young. This is, in other words, the old people give honor to the young people. And in this age of technology, with everything changing so quickly, people are becoming rich younger and younger ages. And also, the culture is such that many people don't see much future past the ages of their youth. Son will violate his father, a daughter will rise up against her mother, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household. Well, the face of the generation will be like the face of a dog. Their support for this is that Hillary opened a speech in Reno, literally a campaign speech, by barking like a dog. I was not aware of this. Anyway, a son will not be ashamed before his father. In other words, won't respect his father. The wisdom of the learned will degenerate. Fears of sin will be despised, and the truth will be lacking. And not a bad description of the time we are in at all. And I think Ted sent me, and I think Dr. O'Rourke's got a thing from 10th February about the rapture. I haven't had a chance to listen to it, but obviously it's another indication that the rapture is soon. Let me see. I do have a dream from, or actually an email from Jason that I can read. Let me bring on Tana. Hi, Tana.
In a minute, I
love you. Oh, okay. She said she'll be on in a minute. What I can do is I can actually go ahead and read Jason's email. I haven't heard from him for several days, but hopefully he's having a fairly peaceful time at the moment. But, and I think he's been keeping up with the show, so. He says, hi, Jerry, just wanted to let you know I had my second dream involving the bear yesterday. He had a bear dream quite a while after Judy had her Russian bear dream, and he interpreted them as being related to each other. And it could be. It was the same bear from the December dream. This time I was inside a house and saw the bear coming from the outside. The bear was really angry and began to pound on the door. The door was locked, but I could see it buckling from the top and the bottom. The door busted down, and the bear came running in. At this point, I ran up the stairs and into a bedroom. I went to the window, which was covered with curtains and blinds, etc. I removed all that stuff and then raised the window to escape. End of the dream. And he says, it was a rather quick dream, but I thought it was significant. The timing is also interesting because the first dream was on the 21st of December, the second one being February 22nd. I think you and Mitch had the 22nd estate set, and I answered, yep, we pretty much did, 22nd, 23rd. great word given to you the other day, and the shows have really been encouraging. Your teaching's been remarkable. Yeah, it's a lot of outpouring. It hasn't really been garage work either. A lot of it has been understanding the state of where we're at, the prophetic, scriptural teaching. And it's been pretty intense. And I finally today have gotten through several things that I think he wanted me to look at. And I can't say I'm done, but I've drastically reduced the number of open windows on my browser. So that's one of the reasons that I'm kind of in a relaxed mode today, is because I don't have a whole lot of download to go through and so on. So where Jason's dream is concerned, the thing that really stood out to me was when he went upstairs into the bedroom. So it was covered. The window was covered with curtains and blinds, et cetera. In other words, there's a lot of layers that had to be moved aside. I removed all that stuff and then raised the window to escape. The escape window is pretty much what we're looking for right now, regardless of the manner in which it manifests. But it really seemed to me that, there's pursuit on one side into the house he was in. I don't believe this dream represented any house that he actually has lived in. I think this was a generic house. I'm not sure. But that's what I got from this. And but there were curtains, blinds, et cetera, in the way before he could raise the window. And I think it's an indication that at the moment our understanding is obscured to what we expect to see and the timing of it and any other thing involved in having to sweep it out of the way to get to succeed in our departure. This, I think, is not so different from the dream of Michelle's that I read last night, where she was in the airport and it was really complicated. It was hard to find her way around. And the whole point was we trying to leave, but it was hard to understand where to go to get to the right place to leave. And I think this is kind of a little bit where we're at right now. I think we're going to see something. If we don't see something, well, first of all, I think that today, which is Purim Katan, I think that fits, and I think we will find that there's something that is significant on this day. Maybe if we get a day or two out of here, we'll recognize something. And it will be a stepping stone, much like many of Jason's dreams and experiences have been stepping stones from one date set to another. Very interesting events occurring, which are hard to connect, but have caught my attention. Speaking of date sets, we've had this pattern of the 5th and the 23rd going for months now, which we've documented, where we've sort of had date sets, Jason in particular, date sets on the 5th of the month and the 23rd of the month. Well, we're headed out of February, and we are headed into March. And March 5th would fall into this pattern. And I don't know that we've had anything leading us to the 5th of March as a date set, but I do know that this asteroid that people are talking about, that's supposed to come pretty close to the Earth, is set to make its closest approach on the 5th of March. And I don't know if you have seen the series of these stories, but I have seen four or five stories with the last three in particular with amazing photography of meteorites coming through the atmosphere. And there's been a story today, actually two stories, one out of Spain and one out of the United States about one that hit the Atlantic. They appear to be the same one, although the different sources indicate different trajectories. And Then there was one not too long before that. And then there was one several days ago where a guy in Australia was setting up what he called a chest camera. I'm not really sure what that was about, but he literally sat down in a park bench on a coast and was facing the water, and this huge this meteorite lit up the sky, came through the clouds, and fell down into the water in front of him. Just remarkable. I've never seen anything quite like that footage. And that seemed like a sign to me, because he was not there, obviously, anticipating a meteorite. He was simply setting up a camera, and then he sat down and was perfectly positioned to see this thing. It was extraordinary, and I took that as kind of a sign. And then since then, there have been a couple of others. So what I'm saying is there has been an increase in these larger meteorites that are coming not only with light in the upper atmosphere as they burn up, but with sound as they break apart and transition into lower atmosphere. And that is remarkable, and in my opinion, there's been an increase of those in the last couple of weeks. And some really remarkable ones. And the one that was mentioned today and yesterday in the news, they're saying was the biggest one since the one that caused a major explosion in Russia. Well, this is an increase, which is in the same time frame as the approach of this asteroid, which is supposed to make its closest approach on March 5th. So it's the 23rd. So we're only 11 days away. And it looks like we might be seeing an uptick. And maybe there's some smaller objects in the sky that are on a similar path to this larger object, which is supposed to make its closest approach on the 5th of March. And maybe we're seeing that. So it could be that we'll see a little bit of a crescendo. Also, remember, the 5th of March is only 4 days ahead of the total solar eclipse, which definitely is a day of note for us because it's coupled with a lunar eclipse on the 6th, is that right? 9, on the 16th, no, on the 23rd, on the second Purim. And in between that is the 16th of March, which a lot of the garage work leads to. I want to mention garage work-wise that I have Michelle mentions March 3rd is 27 days after February 5th, 27-day offset. So that would, in other words, March 3rd would be a 27-day offset February 5th. I have some garage work that relates to dates that we've spoken about. In fact, I think what I'm just going to say is it's more work that validates the February 5th date set. And I'm pretty sure that's a big day. And that the Lord is using that as part of the pattern that is being brought to life right now that we are living through. We're living through a period of time. I don't know what that means for us in the short term, except that I think it does reflect these 40-day periods associated, among other things, with the beginning and the end of Jesus' ministry on earth and the first coming. So I think that's significant there. But this information that I have, I don't know. I don't even dwell on it anymore. It's like, okay, you do it. And the truth is, what Michelle and Jason have been led to, a lot of the things that they have shared with us, in some of their leadings, are things that I've also had and just haven't mentioned, because, and that's one of the reasons I get so energized when they find things and are led to the same things that I have been, is because I've been doing this rapture watching for a long time, and there are patterns sometimes that you find exist, and they don't necessarily mean anything that you can discern. So I like it when people are led to things, and more than one of us are. I had one of the exchanges I had recently mentioned that our coming would be, that basically our departure would be sort of like a combination of Christmas and Easter. And I just took that and I thought, well, for several reasons, I took that as sort of a combination event. And I went and I looked at the calendar, and this was recently with Rosemary, I think. And I looked at the calendar, and I looked at December 25th, 2015, and I looked at Easter, which I declared as Passover, by the way, not Christian. And there's two different Easters, at least. There's the Western Christian Easter, which is 27th of March. There's also Eastern Orthodox Easter, which is the 1st of May. So those two vary very considerably on the calendar. And then Passover is in the last week of April. I went to the day of Passover from Christmas, and just to see how many days it was. And because I was thinking about heading for the middle of it. In other words, you know, like Christmas and Easter together. Anyway, I was inspired to look for the middle of that time frame. And what I found was what for me is a very significant number of days between the two, between December 25th, 2015 and April 24th, 2016, is 121 days. Now, that's a number I have mentioned several times. And we also know that January 21st was the first day of our rapture-centered show. We later came to see that it was a pivotal point earmarked through the Elijah pattern. And also, by the way, 121 is the product of 11 squared. And that got my attention. And so 120 divided by 2 is 60. And it turns out that yeah, that's right. Michelle's putting in chat, yeah, 11 times 11 is 121, 11, which is like 11, 11, exactly. And a lot of this outpouring that I went through with Rosemary recently stemmed out of the night I was sort of spontaneously led to announce what I was given to understand the meaning of the 11, 11 in the expanded Godhead. And although there still remain some questions along those lines, obviously. The thing is, her outpouring coincided with my description of that and explanation of that. Now, if you go from the same December 25th, 2015, halfway in 121 days, 60 days, oh, that is today, February 23rd, 2016, Purim Katan, or sometimes they call it Little Purim because it's in the added month. But nevertheless, it turns out right today. Or, okay, if it's 121, if you add a part of a day, perhaps we can take that into the 24th. But what I'm saying is this time frame, for this is one of only 7 out of the 19 years in the Jewish calendar cycle that there is an added month. And you know, this is when I was led to look this up, and then there it is. Although I suppose you could say in another year, perhaps it would be regular Purim. But in either case, and by the way, I just think there's something really significant about the fact that there are two Purims this year, Purim being about Esther and the bride and so on. I think we're going to see that this plays out in a significant way. And even if we don't understand it until until things are dramatically changed. But nevertheless, I ran over this today as I was doing a little garage work. I didn't do a lot, especially with dates and things, but there is... So this is one of the things that I've been sort of sitting on and haven't really mentioned, but it leads us to the same days we were already being led to, and that's partly why. But I tripped over today, was reminded of it, so I thought I'd mention it. Then just a minute ago, as I was speaking, I was led to think about something else that was on my mind. This is entirely, you know, what he prompts me to do right now, and there's no preconceived notion on my part. Okay, I really don't have details to mention about this, but I did get through the transcript of that Hebrew boy, the Jewish boy who, Nathan or Natan, who had a near-death experience, clinically died on the 28th of September and gave a testimony, which we saw the recording of. And that recording was done less than a week after he had that experience. Less than a week. So there is a full English transcript of the entire testimony, not the partial one where we saw in English, and I read through that today. There are a couple of other interesting tidbits, we found it compelling, I know, and I thought I would mention a couple of things if I can remember what they are right now. He had some specific details about the war and how some things would go. It's obviously not good for any part of Israel. He's basically said at some point all of Israel would be overrun by these large numbers of foreign troops. He mentioned that World War III started on the 11th of September and that it would go in stages. And of course, there's this description, quite a bit of talk about who the Messiah is. But one of the points that was clear in this transcript was somebody actually asked him, so you know things you can't say. He says, yes, and I'm not even going to talk about that. And so he was given direction on what to say and what not to say. There are certain things that he knew and understood that he was not allowed to speak. So that's an interesting thing, and that was not clear in any of the information that I had seen before that was available in English, for example. And he believes there is a Messiah figure alive, and he says, you know, he's in Israel, but nobody will recognize, you know, everybody will be surprised who he is. Well, first of all, you have to remember this is from a Jewish perspective entirely. His testimony is all about responding to the Jewish thought process. Secondly, we know Jesus is alive and with us everywhere because in the presence of the Holy Spirit. However, he said that he felt like there was a physical person alive. He said that this person was not in Jerusalem, that they were somewhere else and he wasn't sure where. But in terms of being surprised at who this person would be, I believe it's going to be they're going to recognize that it was Jesus. And the reason they will all be surprised is because I think by the time this happens, the Messianic Jews will all be gone in the worldwide rapture. And so the worldwide rapture is an event that I believe triggers a lot of the end time scenario. The spirit of protection over the earth by the Holy Spirit and those who in whom it is strongly indwelling are will be removed. And then things will be very different. Then, in fact, what he said will fit perfectly well, and everyone who is remaining will be surprised. How the rest of that plays out, I'm not sure. But there's some interesting details in there. Those are one or two of them. He said it would take months for everything to play out. He was asked a period of, 10 years, 2 years. He said months is how long this entire thing will play out. Months. So the farthest you could say is something less than 2 years. I got a very firm impression when I saw the video and the way he described some things that it was going to be less than 6 months. So November, December, January, February. By the end of February, it will have been 4 months. By the end of April, it will have been 6 months. Now, obviously, this time, it's sort of interpreting an interpretation because the language barriers and things. For example, the English transcript was, the Hebrew was translated into French, then the French was translated into English via, I think, Google Translate or something. So there were a lot of discrepancies in this. But what I'm saying is there were a lot of people speaking while he was testifying, asking questions. So exactly what he was responding to and what have you is not all in the transcript. And so that's why I think there's a slightly different impression from the video to the transcript. However, that's kind of what he had to say. I'm just going to throw that out there right now. I don't know if I have anything else. We'll see. Anyway, Mama Pat's on the line. Let me open her up. Say hi.
Hello. It's me.
Oh,
hi.
It's Hannah.
That was a good video.
Oh, you're
video.
Welcome. You're welcome. I love you all. I love you, Jesus.
Love you, too. Well, Gerald's kidneys are fine, so thank God, and she's waiting to get into the rehab. Just pray her insurance goes through, because she wasn't sure, but they had were ready to take her, so I don't see why she wouldn't go, so that's where I am with that. Mm. Other than that, 44s, and we have to watch TX-38, this asteroid, because they don't think NASA's telling us. And did you know that they don't measure from where the soil begins on the Earth out to the, this is just a novice talking, to where the mileage is? They go from the center of the Earth, which is 3,500 miles, okay? And then they measure to where the asteroid will come. So they've reduced it from 11,000 to 10,000. So if you subtract 35, no, really, I'm serious. 35.
That's interesting. That's interesting math, I have to say,
For 3,500 from 1,000, 10,000, you know what I'm saying? It's squat.
Yeah.
Close.
Yeah. So we could be talking 8,000 miles
based on
the information they share. Yeah.
Jerry, how big was this is important, I think. How big was the thing that blasted over Russia in 2014, 13, and how high up was it?
Well,
because that would give us an idea.
It wasn't. Well, okay. First of all, size-wise, the one over Russia was roughly 50 feet across.
Oh, jeepers.
And this thing is twice that. It's actually.
Oh, right, yeah, it's the size
it's
of a
really
Mack
about,
truck.
It's about three times that big, mass-wise.
Okay. How high?
Well, it was when you see them in the atmosphere, they're within 150 to 100 miles. And it that one got down to probably the 40-30 mile range, and then eventually solid pieces of it did hit the ground.
Wow.
So zero. It got down to zero.
Well, now folks.
But the damage of that thing was not the rocks that hit the ground. The damage was caused by the blast that occurred when the rocks superheated and exploded in the atmosphere. And that's kind of what they do. And usually we don't hear it because they're tiny little pieces of rock when we see those bright things in the sky. This one was bigger. And the explosion actually, at least from what we're told, although there's some people think they blew it out of the sky. And there is very odd footage that seems to show that something was actually shot, effectively rock. So that's a bit of a question. Mm. But anyway, conventional science will tell you that the explosion was the result of the superheating of the rock, which then fractured and broken apart into a bunch of little pieces, and that was the explosion. But that was less than 100 miles. I mean, that was in the atmosphere. A typical space station, which where there's or shuttle orbit, when the shuttles were flying, was about 200 miles. And so 200 to 400 miles for various different things. So that's outside of the atmosphere where it affects the space stuff. See, it has to get within about 150 to 100 miles of the surface of the Earth before you start seeing it make light and burn up and things like that.
Okay.
However,
so it may not do anything, but it could knock out satellites. That's what they're afraid of, too, possibly.
Well, there
are
satellites
and then,
there's satellites that orbit, as far as I know, up to 1,000 miles from the surface of the Earth.
Oh, boy.
And those aren't discussed very much, but I think that they are. And of course, there's a lot of space out there.
Boy.
Okay.
Yeah.
But even that is 1,000 miles is is still just 1,000, not 10 or 11 or 7 or whatever. But yeah, that is interesting math.
Okay. There's more.
To the Earth,
there's more.
Okay.
There's more. It's coming. Mm-hmm. March 7th at 4:00 something time.
That was the 5th.
No, they upped it to the 7th. NASA. NASA's all over the place. And anyway, we're so lied and deceived. Who's going to tell us the truth anyway? Right? Right? I mean, Russia's got its sights on acrophobias or whatever that the things begin with an A in 2017 or 19.
Apophis,
shoot it with nukes.
Yeah.
Right. So go ahead and do that, guys.
Ridiculous.
Tom Lipshew just had something about over the ocean, a tremendous, he's very upset because it's a tremendous fireball went over the ocean. It was really, really, really. And he said they had 2 weeks. They didn't tell us anything, you know. And then all these miniature astronomers are fighting. Wow, you know. And Tom says, well, look at this one. You know, you missed that, and you're fighting that. Oh, what isn't it? He says it's just crazy. It's nuts. You know, we're not seeing these things. We're not being told. We can't tell when they're right on top of us. Yada yada yada.
That's right.
That's kind of scary. Then you got this dumbass one coming. You know, on the 5th of the 7th of March. So everybody, and then they're saying, oh, well, the elites are going in the bunkers. And that's why they're going in the bunkers, because this stupid thing's coming, you know. And I don't know. But if you look at Revelation 8, chapter 8, it talks twice about the mountain coming and something else about the asteroids or something.
Not
a
fire.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Right. We're out of here.
actually, Pat, before you called in, I was speaking about in the last 2 or 3 weeks, there have been several of these meteorites captured on film, and the most spectacular one, the biggest one since that Russian one, was the one on the 6th of February. And, well, there's actually NASA reported it into the middle of Atlantic, and Spain and Portugal reported it over Spain.
I've got the picture of the one now.
It was the same. It was the same one. And, and they use the same size descriptions. They're just taking, they just want to take credit for their observations. And so they But anyway, in both cases, they reported as being the largest one since the one over Russia that caused
damage. I know.
But before that, there have been a series of them, including one that this guy wearing a chest camera caught falling into the water in Australia. And that was really spectacular footage. And it was not as large of an item, but it did break all the way through the atmosphere under the cloud cover, and that's when you could really see it. And then, you know, it went into the water either as a very small fragment or not at all, but probably as a small fragment. There's the impression that you might have been able to see a splash, but I think it's hard to say, actually. But the
warning
point
shots
is,
over our
what
head.
I mentioned...
God's
what
giving
I mentioned,
us warning shots.
Exactly.
It must be.
I believe there's an increasing incidence, and I think it could be associated with this March 5th to 7th asteroid that's out there, because a lot of times...
Possibly.
These large rocks are on similar pat trajectories as smaller rocks, either ahead or behind of them.
That's
so,
the other thing.
And so what I think we're seeing is an increase in these meteorites, and I believe it's associated with the same area of space and the same trajectory that this large one is on for the first week of March. And so
I think
that's highly interesting. So it looks like we might see more and more of them. Through that
what about
day,
the Oort
or maybe
belt? The ORT belt has all the asteroids in it going around
the
it.
The Oort,
yeah,
well, that's way
maybe
out
some
there.
Of them are getting kind of knocked
there.
Around. Yeah, where are they coming from?
You know, that's one. There's an infinite number. We're talking outer space, so there's an infinite number of things you can say might happen with respect to Nibiru or whatever.
Right, right. That's
the
other
thing. These events are, how can I say, I think it was a video about a month ago that was talking about trajectories some of these objects that are showing up and getting close to Earth, and the science didn't match up because they're talking about things whose orbits have been known for years and years.
You're right.
And so some of these things, and if they've been known for years and years, then an object that has recently passed through the Oort cloud cannot possibly be responsible in recent history for making this thing a potential threat. You know, if it's something new and unexpected on a previously uncharted, you know, orbit or trajectory, it's never been seen before, that's one thing. But things that have been seen before, this, you know, whatever you want to call it, Nibiru, whatever this thing is that people are expecting to fly through the atmosphere, I mean, the solar system.
Right.
It's only going to be inside the solar system in any level for, you know, probably less than a year. And so if you can find an object that's floating around in space that's that the orbit's been known and it has been identified for 3 or more years, you can be sure that a recent pass through the solar system of any Nibiru or anything like that has nothing to do with that object. It was displaced some other way,
or some other
time. But it's still out there. I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Excuse me.
You know, people are just trying to connect all the dots in the big one big
pile,
and you know, people are just all about, you know, this sensation, and that. Whatever, but nevertheless, I do think that this approaching asteroid, it's interesting we're seeing an uptick in bigger ones, more notable ones, over the last couple of weeks in association with the approach of this thing, this asteroid.
Right.
And so I think I would say let's focus on that. There will come a time, and as I have described at length before, when this Nibiru thing and its associated planets, there will come a time when there will be, if it's real and if it does come through the solar system, and I'm not saying it's not real, I'm just saying, you know, there have been too many different theories. They don't all go together. When it does come through, there will be no debate. Everyone will know, okay?
Yeah.
Everyone, there will be a time when everybody will understand that they're seeing something extraordinary.
Right.
And then the debate will pretty much, except for the disinformation that the governments will put out, the debate will pretty much stop.
I know.
It'll show up at a time and in a place, and it'll be moving in a direction that will pretty much eliminate all the variables. It's going to become quite clear what it is, where it came from, where it's going. It won't take very long to do that. And as long as we're not taken back to the Stone Age by some impact or, you know,
or
whatever,
yeah, or explosion,
then we'll
over
be able, we'll be able to figure
satellites
it out and go from there. Yeah,
yeah, I know, yeah, exactly. So it's very interesting. But is it possible, and I'm just going to talk dummy-do astronomy here, as the Earth goes around the sun, it's exposed to all different, of course, variables that are out there, and
mm-hmm.
anything new could be coming at us that we don't even know about. I mean, just because it's
mm-hmm.
the same old orbit around the same old sun, I know there's the Oort cloud, and they say if they collide, they can, you know, send one sailing our way. But aren't we always exposed to something new that's out there that we don't even know about? I mean, they have so much technology,
mm-hmm.
and you can be sure that there are many more astronomers and what have you, even amateurs, looking at the skies and seeing if these things are on their way. But as Tom said, Tom Lipschitz was very, you have to listen to his video. I think I said he was very upset because he said there wasn't enough time to even know this huge thing would boom, you know, over the ocean.
Well,
like, how scary is scary? You know, anyway, so.
But they happen. These things happen all the time and have always happened throughout history. And on the one hand, there is a potential danger out there that's real and most people don't realize. But on the other hand, the reason people don't lock onto it is because, for the most part, there's nothing we can do. Tom Lipschitz is a prepper, and he's got his stores, and he's got his hideout, and he's got all that stuff. And maybe he wants warning to go there. I'm not disparaging him. I'm trying to tune into his perspective.
Yeah.
You got to
listen
to
it. It's not a long video, but he was very upset over this thing. Like, we're not being told. Like, they're not catching these things on time to warn people, you know, fast enough. And a lot of people think all the stuff is from Nibiru coming, that it's bringing all this garbage with it, and that's what we're seeing.
Not,
so I don't know. It's just out there.
It's not.
That's just what's
out there. It wouldn't surprise me if Nibiru is out there, but...
I'm still out
but,
lunch on that.
let's see. Let's watch and see if the reported meteorite sightings increase up through the 5th or the 7th of March. And if they do, and if they start to decline after the 7th of March, I'm gonna say it was more associated with this larger object and whatever family of rocks are out there on the path of that object.
Well, we don't have to worry, and we're probably not even going to be here, you know, so we can watch the asteroids from a cloud, a glorified cloud.
The debris associated, not all, but most of the debris associated with any Nibiru or family of objects along those lines is going to be behind it, not ahead of it.
That's what I thought. If you go to scale,
and
then
that's
you're
where the
hit.
Danger really is. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so,
what they're saying too. Yeah.
So,
but some think that it's pushing stuff ahead. So I don't know. I mean, it's just so much
some people will associate every dramatic thing with Nibiru because
I know.
Talk about Nibiru. Okay. So
I know.
I mean,
And then we're not going to be here.
We're not
going to be here.
Well, that's right.
We'll be watching it from the clouds.
I feel bad for my brothers and sisters
too.
Who are. Well, a few fireballs will definitely wake them up.
You know, my perspective, and this is not my perspective is, I trust God for things, and
right.
if it's God's plan to allow this to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to engage my emotions for the results of it, other
right.
than to accept that it was His will. And,
right. Exactly.
But
you
know,
exciting.
Yeah. Well, I guess
it is
yeah.
a little excitement here.
I guess.
I have
yeah.
to say I'm excited about going home, and I have to say happy
yes.
anniversary RCC the other day
for our
angel clapping and our miracle show and our announcement of the elopture. So happy anniversary.
Okay, here we
that's
go, guys.
Right.
Here we
that's
go.
Right. That was
here
the
we
21st.
Go. It's all over
that's
the place.
Right.
February 21st. And happy birthday,
yeah,
Luca and Joe's birthday was like. Joe's birthday was like the week before Luca's, so
super.
They both had birthdays.
Happy birthday,
February.
Guys.
Yeah.
Happy birthday,
cool.
guys.
Awesome.
Yeah.
yeah.
Great.
That's good.
Anyway. Exciting days ahead.
Well, so, yeah, anyway, so we'll see what happens. You know, when you, believe me, when this new Beirut thing comes around, everybody's going to know it. When it finally shows up, it's going to be... extraordinary. And by the way, the historical record indicates that it was plainly obvious. Like everybody's going to see it. Okay. Everybody will see it.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, there may be several of them to see.
What?
You know, the classic theory of not necessarily Nibiru as planet X, but Nibiru as the twin of the sun.
Right.
That theory, or you know, and there have been reported observations which,
yeah.
so far I couldn't verify at all. The point is that they threaten that there is a body of several planets that's
yes,
following
seven.
With it.
Mm-hmm, seven.
And
here we go.
So it's not just one object. It could be several large objects.
Yeah. Binary, binary sun? Binary system.
Most of the solar systems that have been discovered are binary systems.
Yeah.
Where there's two suns, revolve around each other.
Weird.
And that in this case, the second sun would be a dwarf star.
It's dead.
And one that just didn't have the mass to become a full star, full
right.
sun. And so it's a darkish, warmish object that hides itself as it travels through space. That's probably the best, most complete mm-hmm. description of the theory. And this relates to why it can't be seen easily and so on and so forth.
Right.
And if you do look at the manner in which, here's a really good clue that Nibiru, this is the best evidence I know that Nibiru exists, or at least that the elites believe it exists. And it is that beginning in the 1970s, there was a dramatic increase in infrared detection devices, telescopes and things, that continues to this day, looking into outer space. Now, infrared is the specific method of detection that would be best to detect this sort of carbon black but warm Nibiru binary star type object. And however... In contrast, all of the asteroids we've just been talking about and the ones that come from behind the sun that we don't see and things like that, the overwhelming majority of them are detected by radio telescopes, infrared.
Right. Oh,
and
wow.
A radio telescope, yeah. So there, for some reason, this infrared technology is where all the big money has gone in the last 20 or 30 years.
That's true.
And yet, the primary method of detection, and by the way, it is not the best method of detection for these little asteroids, so-called little. But the overwhelming majority of them are discovered by radio technology. In other words, basically radar. And so what do is they send signals out into space, and then they record with antennas, big receiving antennas. They record if they get any pulses back. And then the pulses back represent an object that is there that reflected the signal, just like radar on Earth. And that's how they find these things. And so they create reams of data, and they can't possibly search it all. They collect way more information than they could analyze. Although today they apply supercomputers to analyzing it and to see if they can find things that they can get reflections that repeat on a track. But now what they do is they keep a record of all that data that goes back 30, 40 years. And then if somebody does report a sighting, a sighting, then they go back into all the other recorded data and see if they can find the same object at a different time and place that matches what that was recently found. And that's how they get confirmations of things like orbits and sizes, and they begin to narrow down their knowledge of what that object could be. And so they've recorded it, but they just haven't noticed it yet. And then when somebody does notice it on the data, then they can go back and get a confirmation from the old data many times. Those are radio telescopes. That's radar, okay? And so if we're looking for a rock floating through space, a radio telescope would be – and there's obviously range differences, okay, by the way. So the closer it is, the more effective a radio telescope will be. And this is why they find so many of these things when they're close to Earth, because the farther the signal has to go before it bounces back, the more buried the data point is going to be. So,
what about Chandra and Hubble? I mean, they pick stuff up too, I'm sure.
Well, you know, I don't know. The problem is we don't really know what they pick up. We only know what they tell us.
Okay, right, exactly.
Although the mission for Hubble and all that seems to be primarily deep space exploration, galaxies, solar systems, things like that. The images that we see from Hubble are almost all along those lines. Nebulas, things like that, way, way away. And maybe the infrared is an instrument.
I would think.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, the rocks, you know, something that, and this is why I go back to the radio telescopes, the rocks are at space temperature. So an infrared will not pick up these things, except when they're heated by the rays of the sun. But in general, an infrared is not going to pick up an asteroid in deep space because it's going to be almost the same temperature as all the space around it. Yeah.
It's cold. Yeah.
So the only thing an infrared is going to pick up is something that generates its own heat.
Heat,
at any
distance. That's true.
Okay.
That's
and
true.
So
that's
really
true.
All these infrared telescopes, while they might pick up these objects when they're heated within the near solar system, and by the way, I admit, I'm talking as a layman here. I'm just talking using my basic knowledge. Basic knowledge of science. But what I'm saying is an infrared telescope, you're looking for a very limited range of object types with that. And so the fact that there's been so much, and one of them would be a failed binary star, a dwarf star, and so the fact that there's been so much money by so many different projects put into that type of technology in the last 30 years indicates that yes, they think there's something out there very much like Nibiru.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway.
And Michelle says, I'm not concerned about Nibiru one bit, but it would be exciting if it did come near the Earth, because that would be a sign we're leaving, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
And then she has a link to a video. This guy claims there's a blood moon on March 24th of this year. I haven't watched the video, though. Some of the comments say March 24th is the real Passover date. That's take a month, pick a calendar. It could be. There is a modest lunar eclipse on the 23rd, 24th of March, and it's called a penumbral eclipse, and so it's not a major one. And whether it results in a blood moon, I don't know. It would not be the same as the tetrad blood moons. It's a different type of eclipse. So, but we've seen blood moons without any eclipse whatsoever lately.
Yeah.
On different, what people are calling blood moons, and so that could very well be the case. I do know this. We drive. When my daughter goes back and forth to her college, we're driving over the open plains, just basically farmland as far as the eye can see, not hilly at all. It's very flat ground, and we've been doing this now for a year and a half, really 2 years when you include school visits and things. And she says. She said this last time, she said, every time we take this trip, the sky looks weirder and weirder.
Wow.
And I pretty much agree with that. There are colors in the sky that you never used to see in the sky except at a very short period of time at sunset. And now they're there all day long. There's colors in the sky that never used to be there at all.
Could it be from chemtrails?
Everything, I think a lot of it is chemtrails. Absolutely. The other thing is there have been claims that, as whatever these space anomalies are that are approaching intensify, that we'll see more pronounced colors of red in the sky over a longer period of time. The sunsets will become extremely notable and spectacular, because that's routine now. Recently, in unusual weather circumstances, I've seen a color in the sky. Now, I've traveled a lot. I've been outdoors a lot, during various different weather circumstances. And I have, in the last 6 months, I have seen two times when the sky was just gold, light yellow or gold.
Oh, yes. My daughter saw that.
And
she called attention to it. She was freaking
and
out.
I have
it was so beautiful.
I've seen it twice myself.
Yeah.
And it was on the edge of a weather front. And so you do have different possibilities. But, I've seen, I'm 55 years old. I've done a lot of weather watching. Because it was affecting my activities, and I've seen weather fronts come and go and all that, and I have never seen the brilliant goldish color that I've seen in the sky a couple of times that your daughter mentioned on her own occasion, and this was all in the last 6 months. So it's a very weird. It's almost a greenish gold, and it's a very strange color. And so whatever the cause, things are clearly different. Now, speaking of chemtrails, I only have one thing to mention there. I have noticed that in our area, I still see that activity. But in the last 2 weeks, I've seen a lot less of it than I have previously. So for whatever reason, that activity has declined, at least for the short term. Just a few minutes to call in. I don't really think that I've got anything else. I'm going to look at that link that Michelle has. And something came up for me that I want to look into a little bit when the show started. But other than that, that's pretty much what I have. Anything else on your end, Pat?
No.
Or Tana?
No, no,
Tana's
no.
there, too.
No, nothing. Just wanted to
I have
say that they were
that
they concerned
about
TX-68. Yeah. That's
yeah.
all.
Okay.
Thank you again, Tana, for sending that. That was great.
Oh, you're welcome. I was going to say, gas at Costco is $1.97.9 in California, which is, hasn't been this way in like 10 years, probably. So gas
the what? The gas.
Gasoline, yeah.
Yeah, slow. Yeah, wow, huh?
Yep. Okay, well, the end is near.
Okay.
Gas prices are below $2 a gallon.
California, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, we're paying. Yeah, we're paying much. Oh, we're paying. I think I filled up yesterday and I played 167. Well, it was regular, but it was 167 a gallon. So.
The other
anyway,
is that what? Yeah, go ahead. Putin threatens Turkey with tactical nuke. Anyway, so that's just the other thing.
Yeah,
right
I felt
there.
Like
yeah.
that was kind of significant actually, and.
Wow.
And the reason I think it's significant is, tactical nukes are just field weapons. They sound, they are scary, but they sound scarier than they really are.
Yeah.
They're huge bombs is what they are. They're big bombs. They're not nukes the way ICBM nukes are nukes. But the reason Putin would threaten this is because he's trying in every possible way to avoid sending troops into Turkey. That's why he would threaten this. But tensions are increasing.
Well,
I don't know
are.
How much of it is scripted, but something's going to happen at some point. It's too convoluted. There's too much tension.
Yeah.
The Saudi, by the way, the Saudi regime, the Saudi royal family are, I believe, shaking in their boots. I believe they are very, 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 very afraid of the Iranian aggression, which is quite real. And because they rule over people that don't really love them. And so they are precarious. They are one of the nations that was predicted to fall as a result of the Arab Spring process, which is still ongoing. And in this case, it's the Iranians who are pressuring them, both in Yemen and in Syria and secretly inside Saudi Arabia. And I think the Saudi regime is very afraid. In fact, I would even say they're so afraid of losing their stranglehold on the peninsula there that it's one of the reasons they have spent so much money establishing mosques and exporting their people to the United States. Because they may literally see the United States as the successor kingdom to Saudi Arabia for their family. They are that concerned. And in other words, what I'm saying is, if anybody over there is on scary ground and might do something disproportional to create a big problem, the most likely culprit outside of Obama being who he is, the second most likely culprit is Saudi Arabia. Hmm. And we know Saudi Arabia, Britain, and Obama and his handlers are very, very tight. They're very close to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, it doesn't really matter whose name is written on the Molotov cocktail that's thrown into the room. All that really matters is the motivation behind it and whether it's lit. And so I think that's what we've got going on here in the Middle East right now. There is a serious escalation now that Saudi is dramatically threatening to be involved. They're scared.
Yeah.
They're very scared of the Iranian intervention, very much.
Wow.
And they're beginning to figure out that Obama is a lot friendlier with the Iranians than they would like.
Wow.
Valerie Jarrett is Iranian. She was born in Iran. Okay.
Got a few.
So, I mean, and then, you know, and so there's a whole, yeah, it's, anyway. So, yeah, that's what I know. So I think we'll head out today and we'll see, we'll see what tomorrow brings.
Yeah.
Or tonight. Hopefully tonight. Okay.
Time for the proof.
Yeah.
Love you all.
Thank you.
Love you, honey.
Love you, too.
Love you all.
Love you all, Tana, Pat, Michelle, everybody out there in
everybody.
Archive land.
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah. There we go.
Hang in there.
There
get your phone star.
Yep.
Hang on to it. Take
love
it to
you, Jason.
Yeah. Yeah, I love you, Jason.
Yeah, I love you, Jason. Hey, bro.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine. When all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, one will my heart feel. To my knees, will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I forever. forever worship you. I can only imagine